soul line to somehow say, it's all about victory. It's all about how I'm going to win. I'm going to get the next basket, the next goal, the next touchdown. But others have realized this, and so they've created some fun with it. Go to the next one. That poor koala is just getting wind of it. Sorry. It's a comedic slide, but obviously it's not catching yet, so it's all right. You just imagine his surprise. Wait a minute, what? I thought it was, no, it's not for that. No. No, it doesn't seem to be about victory, necessarily. It seems to be about something entirely different, about how do we roll with the punches of life? How do we take in stride the highs and the lows that come as they do? So context matters, and so what is it Paul says just before these verses? He says, look, I've learned to be content. I've learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I've learned the secret. The secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty, of being in need. The secret of being content in whatever circumstance I face. Context matters. That's what leads into, in Christ, I can do all things. And if you know anything about Paul's life, this is a pretty remarkable statement. Where is Paul in the midst of writing this letter to the Philippians? He's in prison in Rome, probably looking at a death sentence coming soon. And yet he can write, I am content. I've learned the secret. Paul says, look, I know what it is to be somebody with plenty, somebody in need, and I find contentment either way. Paul has had highs and lows all throughout his life, probably greater highs and lows than many of us have ever faced. 2 Corinthians, he recounts a little bit of his journey of life, mostly the lows, really. It's pretty amazing if you hear the list. He says, look, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. This is beatings on the back with a whip. And the Romans were so good at it, they knew that most people could withstand 39. 40 might kill you. He'd gone through that 5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I received a stoning. 3 times shipwrecked for a night and a day, adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, bandits, my own people, from Gentiles, in the city, in the wilderness, at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, in toil and hardship. Oh, Paul's had some major lows, life-threatening circumstances, and he doesn't mention it here, but he's had some pretty amazing highs. Somebody would have looked at him years before when his name was Saul and said, this was one of the most up-and-coming stars in Jewish circles. He was kind of becoming a big thing. He was well-positioned, well-educated, well-financed. He was a pretty big thing in Jewish circles in his day. And I'm sure was hobnobbing with the elite. He knew what it was to have plenty and have need. The highs and lows. And somewhere along the line, he figured out what it was to be content in the midst of all of that. Would it be nice to figure out what that secret is? To be content wherever we are in the midst of life, through the highs and the lows? Henry Nouwen is one of my favorite writers. He was a Dutch Catholic priest and professor, theologian, brilliant. At one point, he struggled with contentment in life. And so he went and spent 6 months in a monastery. Now, you and I don't get 6 months in a monastery, but he was a Catholic priest, so there you go. He gets to do that. But this is why he did it. He said, I realized I was caught in a web of strange paradoxes. While complaining about too many demands, I felt unease when none were made. While speaking about the burden of letter writing, an empty mailbox made me sad. While speaking nostalgically about an empty desk, I feared the day in which that would come true. In short, while desiring to be alone, I was frightened of being left alone. The more I became aware of these paradoxes, the more I started to see how much I'd fallen in love with my own compulsions and illusions, and how much I needed to step back and wonder, is there a quiet stream underneath the fluctuating affirmations and rejections of my little world? I think that's a key question that Henry Nouwen brings up. Is there a quiet stream underneath the fluctuating affirmations and rejections of our little world? Because ultimately, I think when Paul can say, I've learned the secret of being content, what he's saying is he has a quiet stream flowing that he's connected to, that grounds him. And it's connected to that verse, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. The secret to his contentment has nothing to do with the circumstances, with the need or the plenty, with the highs or the lows, but it has everything to do with his connection, his relationship to Christ. He can bear all things, the highs and the lows, because he knows he doesn't go it alone, but Christ is with him. Earl Palmer, the great Presbyterian minister, he put it this way once. He said, look, abundance and want are simple. These are things that happen. And Paul has learned the secret of taking each in stride. The key is that he lets them happen without an over-interpretation of their long-term significance. Because Jesus Christ has already won that long-term significance. Do you catch that? In other words, Paul has learned to keep a certain perspective on life and the events that unfold. When good happens, he gets to celebrate, but not try to hold on too tightly because he knows it's temporary. And when bad happens, he receives it, but he doesn't get stuck in it either. In the long term, in the end, Jesus gets the last word. Jesus gets the last moment with us. And so everything folds into that long-term significance. And Paul could say, it's okay. Whatever circumstance I'm in, Jesus will have the last word on this. Palmer goes on, he says, look, Jesus Christ is the companion of our way who outlasts extremes, as well as any degree of abundance and abasement in between. They are merely way stations on our journey. Paul can take things in stride because of the one who strides alongside him. And he's found his true pace by walking with the Lord in the places where the journey takes him, where paths are hard, or where the lines fall in pleasant places. The secret for Paul, for you and I, is the focal point of life, the center around which life is integrated. As Paul focused his vision on God and his love seen in Christ, all other things sort of become to the periphery. So what is your focal point? Can you say, in Christ, I can do all things, I can bear all things, I can go through the highs and the lows and trust? There's another Presbyterian minister, Tim Keller. He's pastor of several churches out in New York City. He put it this way, and I thought it was helpful. He said, now imagine you are a billionaire, Sound good? Billionaire. All right, I like it. You're a billionaire. And you have three $10 bills in your wallet. Of course, you might have more, but just go with the story. It says you get out of a cab and you hand the driver one of the $10 bills for an $8 fare. Okay. But then later in the day, you look in your wallet and you find there's only one $10 bill there. And you say, huh, either I dropped a $10 bill somewhere or I gave the taxi driver two bills. Maybe they stuck together. What are you going to do? Are you going to get all upset about it? Are you going to go to the police, demand they search the city for the cab driver? Are you going to try and track down the taxi company and figure out if you gave him too much? No. You're going to shrug. You're a billionaire, right? You lost $10. So what? You're too rich to be concerned about that kind of loss. Keller continues. He says, look, this week, maybe somebody criticized you. Maybe something you bought or invested in turned out to be less valuable than you thought. Maybe something you wanted to happen didn't go the way you wanted it to. These are real losses, certainly. But what are you going to do? If you're a Christian, will the setback disrupt your contentment in your life? Will you shake your fist at God? Will you toss and turn at night? If so, he says, I submit it's because you don't know how truly rich you are. If you're that upset about your status with other people, if you're constantly lashing out at people for hurting your feelings, you might call it a lack of self-control or a lack of self-esteem, and it is, but more fundamentally, you've lost touch with your identity. As a Christian, you are a spiritual billionaire, and you're wringing your hands over $10. I thought that was a helpful image, a way to think about the ups and downs that go with life. As somebody who says, I follow Jesus as Lord, the one who has conquered death. I have this rich inheritance. I am a child of God. You are a child of God. And so we are spiritual billionaires. Paul understood this and could say, yeah, I know. And the highs and the lows, they come and they go. It's how life is. And I'm not going to get too wrapped around any one of those moments because ultimately, I am rich beyond belief. I have a spiritual inheritance. I have a home with God now and into eternity. I have a guide and a companion along the way. Back to Palmer's phrase, there is one who strides along with us on the journey. We've been talking about the joy ride through Philippians, about the journey of life. And ultimately what Paul holds everything onto is that we don't go through the journey on our own. We have a companion and a guide who knows what life is in its highs and lows, who went to a cross on our behalf, who suffered everything so that we would know joy and hope and love, and mercy, and forgiveness. That's the guide. That's the co-pilot on the ride, if you will, who goes with us. That's why Paul can say, I can do all things. I can bear all things. Because I don't bear it alone. I don't have my own strength, but I don't need it. Because I have this strength drawn from the God of the universe who comes alongside and says, yes, I am with you. I stride along on the journey together. So friends, we wrap up this journey today, but of course, it's a journey through a letter and the journey for our lives continues. Maybe you're in a high point and maybe you're in a low point. Maybe you're somewhere in between today. But for all of us, hear this truth from Paul. We are on the joyride with Christ. And there isn't joy in every moment. But there is Christ's presence. We don't go it alone. We never have, and we never will. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, gracious God, we find hope and joy in knowing you do not leave us to our own life journeys, but you go with us. You go with us in the highs and the lows, in plenty and in want, Lord. You stride alongside us. You are the companion on the way, the companion and guide who knows the way best. And so, Lord, we put our trust in you. We lean on you. We hold on to you. And we are grateful this day. Lord, continue to guide our steps. May your Spirit be with us to strengthen and encourage us for the journey ahead. We pray in the name, your name, Jesus, today. Amen.